Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Wednesday edition, the Brian Bulaga edition, the Steve the Homer
Blue. Oh, Steve it True and the Big Blue. Why do they not call their show Steve it True and the Big Blue?
Well, because I think Homer wants to emphasize that it's only an hour.
Well, get over it.
And Bulaga's
Steve
not on every day.
And the Big Blue.
Well, then what are you doing? John Anderson's on, and when Gary Ellerson is on. Steve True and the Gary 2? Steve True and John Anderson 2?
Listen, man, I can only bring up so many ideas. Somebody else got to chip in here.
Well, it'd be nice if they were good.
Flick it or pick it or bring it or sling it.
I'm flipping through channels last night, and there's apparently a TV show called Bring It. So I don't know if we're in any sort of copyright infringement. We might have to workshop that a little further. Addition. Of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. It's amazing if you shower before the show, the jolt of energy you get from that. You know, get a good workout in, you know. Now I'm showered, I'm clean, don't have to wear a hat. Feeling good. I'm sure that'll change. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. Svelte Jesse Nelson.
I shower every day before this show. I just want everyone to know.
And then you look at yourself in the mirror and say, woo! And the Packers Hall of Famer live from his undisclosed location. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. Have you showered today?
I just showered, yes. And I feel good. Hey, Jesse, how is Becca taking your new body form? Is she very excited that you're all sleek? And like, how's Becca handling it?
What am I supposed to say here? Well?
I don't know.
I don't want details.
Dang, big dog.
Is the Yule log burning hot?
Oh, Becca be liking her some old Jesse now. Is that what we're doing? How's it going?
I will take this opportunity to share that Becca has been very supportive of the 60-day program that I've been experiencing with Madison Weight Loss, and she has been I don't think I could have done it as well as I have without her support, because she makes 95% to 100% of the meals that we have at home, and she has hopped on board despite, I think, some reluctance up front when I first said this is going to be a lot of work for you.
That felt rehearsed.
But you didn't answer my question.
Yeah, exactly.
What are we doing here? That's not what I asked. We know Becca's awesome. She's a great supportive wife to you. That's not what I asked, though. What has she said about your transformation's incredible. You look great. What is the person that you love and that shares a house with you, what does Mo think of that transformation?
She thinks I look good, and Mo's been happy to get more food scraps.
Okay.
All right. This did not get the information that I think Tausch was seeking.
Do you want me to share right now? Because I feel
I want you to say Becca's like, dang, Jesse, you looking good. That's what I wanted you to say.
Yeah, I'd say once or twice she has said, you look really good.
Once or twice.
Like,
I didn't need you to get all graphic. That's not what I was looking for.
There was a shirt.
I just had a simple question.
There's
positive.
There's a shirt that I have had in the back of my closet that I haven't worn for a while because it's one of those, you know, those there's certain shirts that are real, like, kind of tighter fit.
Slim fits.
Yeah. And so I hadn't worn that one for a couple of years. And I tried to wear it 1 month into the 60-day program, and she said, nah, I'm not ready for that one yet. And then I put it back. And then a week or two ago, I put it on, and she said, yep, now you're good. Looks great.
So, Jesse,
are you going to go Euro-cut jeans now? Do you go Euro-cut jeans as you're now sleek and slender? How's that working for you?
I have not thought about the fashion situation that this will entail coming out of the 60-day
program. I mean,
other
than being healthier and all the great things that come with that, isn't that one of the big perks of this whole deal?
I'm pretty narrow-sighted right now. The most important thing to me is I'm going to my cousin's wedding on Friday, and a lot of my dress clothes are a little larger than I'm used to wearing, and I guess they're not larger than I'm used to wearing. They're as large as I'm used to wearing. And now I don't know if they're all going to fit. So I've been going through the closet, see if I have anything I could put on that put the belt a little extra snug and make sure that we're good. So that's been top priority for this Friday.
Champagne problems.
By the way, I'm off Friday.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
By the way, I'm off Friday. Way to sneak that in. I had a conversation with our fantastic teammate Ben Wittes yesterday about your transformation. And he asked me if I was interested in an opportunity with Madison Weight Loss 2. And I gave you a ton of credit while being realistic about myself. The dedication and the discipline that you showed, I'm just so proud of you. That's awesome. You deserve all the credit you're getting. I don't know if I could do it. In fact, I'm pretty sure I can't because I'm not very disciplined.
I did not think I would be able to do it. And I guess today is kind of a milestone to talk about it because tomorrow is the final day of the 60-day program for me. So we are at its end tomorrow. It is the final day of it. So
then you're going to get a hamburger.
So how do you not go out and pig out and get like a big old pizza pie after the 60 days?
And a blueberry pie too.
Because I think, you know, one thing that when I signed up to do this with Madison Weight Loss was to make sure that it's a lifestyle change. It's not just 60 days and then you go right back to, you know, balloon right back up. And so there are things that, you know, Beck and I have both learned. She hasn't participated in the program the same way that I have. But there are things that we've both learned during the 60 days about changing how we eat and, you know, portion sizes and all kinds of things that are translatable to long-term success. So I'm excited to kind of keep going with a lot of it, too, after this is done.
Well, congratulations. We're proud of you. Good
job.
Awesome
stuff.
Thank you.
And enjoy your next day off on Friday.
And I will have a Coors Light or two or three at my cousin Scott's wedding on Friday. There is no doubt about that.
Well, it is Coors Light.
102 calories.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Only 102 calories, so that's perfect.
All right. So Bob Sala has spoken. We are not a Jets show. Aaron Rodgers will be appearing on the Pat McAfee show later this morning. So for those that are interested in that, you are welcome to do so. I know that I had a number of people asking about Bob Sala, as we like to call him here. Robert is what he goes by. Joining the Packers staff. Jeff Hafley, I believe, did work with him in San Francisco. I don't anticipate that, but I can guarantee you somebody's going to ask Matt LaFleur that question today, along with questions that will be asked of Romeo Doubs if he makes himself available. Tausch, do you think he talks to us, or do you think he is busy getting a lift in and then getting a shower in and maybe eating some lunch?
No, he needs to. I think he needs to address his teammates. He needs to address the media and as a conduit to the fans. That's what if he wants to just post something himself and not go through you guys and gals, I'm okay with that too. But I think he has to apologize to everybody involved because what happened is if you want to move forward and set a new course for where you're at, I think it would behoove him to address it and then move on, because otherwise it's going to linger. And then ideally for him, he handles this. He's going to take on a blank storm today. The beautiful part of this new world we live in with clicks and Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff is life moves quick. And the next story will be the next story. And then the game, if he has a great game, this will always be something that I know you'll have in your mind about him, and I'm certain the Packers will too.
Mm-hmm.
But from a fan base standpoint, it is going to be what's next. And if Romeo goes out and plays well on Sunday, we'll forget largely about this until it's time to pay him. This season, handle it, take it on today, and then that's it. You're not going to address it again. You say, I screwed up. I'm going to move forward, and I'm not going to sit and talk about it anymore. This is the time if you want. Jason, ask me as many questions as you want, and then we're moving forward. Mm-hmm. You ask me again, it's persona non grata. I'm done.
Yeah.
That's how you'd handle it.
Yeah, that's good advice. We'll see what happens. The Packers are practicing later today than they normally do, so I can actually I'm going
to
get to attend. I appreciate that. That was very nice of them to adjust their schedule just for me. I'm guessing it's related to coming back from the West Coast and wanting guys to get their legs back. You really did miss your window, man. Like, you had a great 11-year career, but these guys get so much. It's so much easier on this generation than yours. Wouldn't you agree?
But that's, for all of us, that's what we want. Don't you want your kids to have it better? Now, if you want to get into that debate, whether it's going to be better or not, I'm more than happy to do it.
Yeah, that's not this program.
I don't actually think it's going to be. But in this regard, I want guys to make a bunch of money. I want them to have a safer and better working environment. And
sure.
I want them to get the right rest and all that other stuff and not have to deal with concussions and memory loss and blah, blah, blah. I am happy that our guys are doing that. I just hope that they take good care of the old guys as we continue to get crippled and blah, blah, blah. That's what I hope.
Those bad left knees, they're trouble. All right, so I don't want to spend time on the Jets because I do feel like we spent a lot of time on them yesterday. And not that I'm solely reacting on some of the feedback I received, but there were a few folks that wanted to remind us that this was a Packers-centric program, not a New York Jets
program. Do you
think
most of our fans, obviously yesterday was a big deal, so I watched Unsportsmanlike today, the whole blanking show. Get up, whole blanking show was Bob Solon. So it's a monster story.
I get
that we are a Packers, Badgers, Bucks, sometimes Brewers show.
Mm-hmm.
But Aaron Rodgers is one of the greats. And I saw.
I used to work here.
Who is the dude from Cheesehead? Benke. Benke? That his name? Corey Benke.
Corey Benke.
One of the founders of Cheesehead TV. And he was talking about somebody had put up that Aaron Rodgers is the greatest Packer of all time, and he debunked it right away. It's like, well, I think there's a debate to be had. You can say Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest or the greatest Packer, and I think you could have an argument that you're going to be okay with. Now, are you going to win it? Most people would say Bart Starr. You can go with a different direction, but that is why you talk about him, because he's a big blanking deal. He is.
Yeah.
Not as much as he used to.
And it's not like the Jets quarterback, if there was intrigue and backstabbing and Caesar Augustus, or was it Julius Caesar that got stabbed in the back? He did play for the Packers for 16 years. Like, this isn't Kirk Cousins, who didn't play for the Packers, who may have been involved. But what he said, this was my decision and my decision alone, and I'm going to take him at his word that he was in no way influenced by his quarterback about his decision to fire a coach after 5 games of
Jason,
the season.
You say a lot of times I don't ask you enough questions. Is Aaron Rodgers quarterbacking any team in the NFL in 2025?
Denny Tauscher will tell you the talent outs. And if you are desperate enough at quarterback, you will do anything, including maybe take on a guy that you have some reservations about how things have ended at his last two stops. So, yes, I think someone will need a quarterback, whether it's the Jets. We said this yesterday, and then we're going to move on because I really want to get to this Favre Love comp, because I apparently also ticked off some listeners on the Homer Hour, not to be confused with Steve True and Blue 2 or whatever you called it, Big Blue. But the idea that I compared some of Jordan Love's mistakes to Favreian mistakes, I thought was a no-brainer, and it certainly doesn't diminish that Brett Favre...
That
is
play
a
in the end zone was so
Favre.
Yes.
It was so Farvian, you can't get any more Farvian than that.
I would agree.
And that was Farvian to a T.
I would agree, as was, and look, Favre had a lot of these too. And Matt, you'll hear Matt LaFleur say it. No, 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 yes. I'm sure Mike Holmgren said that plenty, and so did Mike Sherman. Yeah. But the into triple coverage throw to Jaden Reed, also Favre-esque. And it ended up with a great outcome. Not always going to be the case. And so I got, well, if he wants to channel a Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback, I'm fine with that. Yeah, of course. Brett Favre is one of the GOATs. You'll get no argument here. But he also led the NFL and leads the NFL all-time in interceptions. And Jordan Love went 8 games last season without throwing a pick. He threw 1 pick in 8 games, threw 3 picks over the final 10. This is a little bit outside of what we have seen from him.
Has he thrown a pick in every game so far?
No, well, he, not in the 2 that he didn't play.
Well, I just specified that. So has he thrown a pick in all 3 of his games?
Indeed he has. Indeed he has.
Yeah, we got to get that right.
That'll be a 1-3-1. That is total.
Oh, the old 1-3-1 trap. Great. Yeah. 8th grade basketball. 1-3-1 trap. Trap the corners. That's the part that I think you have to make sure we're emphasizing with, if I'm Matt LaFleur. That has to be emphasized. And, you know, the issue is you want him to be aggressive. You want him making tough throws. But you want him making smart, efficient throws more often than not. And I still think he's done that for the most part, but you're not going to live with 1-3-1s. You're not going to get beat. Turnovers kill you in this league. That's been, you know, that's been something that's been said for years and years, and Packer fans have ridden that wave. Well, it's been 16 years with Aaron Rodgers. You didn't have to worry about that. Matter of fact, you went so far as to have criticisms the other way, which I never thought we'd ever have to address, but certainly we did. After some postseason losses, he doesn't take enough chances. He doesn't. Somebody called in and said he doesn't throw enough interceptions.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I thought to myself, what bizarro world are we living in now? Because that is crazy town. You don't want to throw. Balls are going to get intercepted, batted balls. Jordan has had some unforced errors that he needs to rectify. And he needs to do it ASAP.
We'll hear what Matt LaFleur had to say about that. We'll talk more about it coming up next. After Tausch tells us, bizarro world would be getting your windows from anyone other than Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Especially, you want to get the look you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The durability of materials, it gets tested. They open and close the doors, the latches and the shades, tens of thousands of times to ensure that they last for years to come. Pella offers custom colors and innovative features like shades between the glass. Right now, get 0% interest for up to 36 months. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends October 31st. Get started today at PellaWI.com. I'll tell you what, October's going a heck of a lot slower than September. Am I crazy to say
it's
that?
It's already the 9th.
You're not spending two weeks in California in October. That's probably got something to do with
it. That probably chipped into that mindset for sure. But, yeah, it just feels like October, finally, we take a breath, we take a beat, and we're looking, and it's, you know what? It's only that – because I was thinking, oh, boy, we only got 10 days left. We got 20 days left. Now, you better get moving, get to PellaWI.com, but I'm telling you.
Your math is bad.
I don't know. It just felt like this month was spiraling. And I'm just saying, this month is kind of – it's got a nice rhythm to it.
Uh-huh. Kind of like this show. We will get to what Matt LaFleur said about Jordan Love taking some risks with the football next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Understand that I don't need to react to everyone's opinion, but this is the kind of stuff
YouTube channel Yeah. Did you go on a YouTube channel?
No. This is... So, yesterday, I was on with Homer and John Anderson, and I drew what I thought was a no-brainer of a comp of some of the Jordan Love mistakes and risks with the football to things that the old gunslinger did. Now, that doesn't mean that Jordan Love stinks, and that doesn't mean that that Brett Favre stunk. Brett Favre, Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. But he also threw a lot of interceptions.
He did.
And some of them cost you guys games.
They did.
Like, you never even had a chance against the greatest show on turf. They were the greatest show on the bench in that playoff game.
We weren't beating that team.
I understand, but it would have been nice to see maybe if you could get into a shootout with them.
So, in fairness, that game, that was one that I think you can look back and say, obviously he threw six picks. He could have thrown 10. Like, there are two or three drops that the Rams had that he should have thrown probably 10 picks that game.
Yeah.
I think he felt that was one of those games that you kind of – coaches always know what flow they're expecting in a game. And we knew we were going to have to put up a bunch of points. And I think Brett, if you notice the thing with Brett, if the game started getting out of control a little bit, he would really push the issue. He pushed pretty early that day, and it didn't work. I mean, it didn't work, no doubt about it. It was a disaster. But I understood where he was coming from. And it wasn't the right move. And that happens sometimes in football.
All right. So again, just so I can make that clear, that doesn't change the fact that there are times when you take risks you shouldn't have. That football is a game of mistakes. And if Jordan Love turns out to be as good as Brett Favre and wins the Super Bowl and all the other things that Brett Favre accomplished on the football field, then every Packers fan should be thrilled. Agreed?
Pull it. I don't know. I think we're hungry enough. I think we expect now, which is a very, by the way, total unfair expectation level for Jordan. But with that little taste we got of how good he was at the end of the season last year, you think if he plays 18 years here, what did Brett play here, 16 years?
16.
You think if he plays 16 years here and he throws 300 how many interceptions
300
and we win
36?
One championship. He throws 336 picks and we win one championship. You think people are going to say this was a fantastic run? Maybe they will. I get the sense that's not how we view our quarterbacks now. We want more. We do.
Well, let's hear what Matt LaFleur had to say, because, again, the fact that we just said that Jordan Love could have Brett Favre's career and we wouldn't be satisfied.
Are people satisfied with Aaron Rodgers' career in Green Bay?
No, I get it.
He had more MVPs.
Yeah, no,
it's a crazy thing to... You're right, Jason. It's a crazy thing to say, but I have no problem saying it.
I don't either. I get it. I totally
The standard has been set. We have now anointed Jordan. Jordan was not anointed last year. He is now anointed.
Yeah.
And we expect big, bold things. We don't expect average or, nice. That's a nice. We expect Hall of Fame, championship-level quarterbacking. It's a big crown to wear. He's wearing it.
Yeah.
It's not.
Heavy is the crown.
It's not as... There's no doubt.
The minimum now is a Super Bowl title and three MVPs and a Hall of Fame career.
You got to add the interceptions in with that, Jesse.
And
you got to add those interceptions
in. And a bunch of interceptions.
All right, so let's hear what Matt LaFleur had to say, because I want to get to Bulaga on time. He's probably got windows to board up, et cetera. So here is Matt LaFleur talking about answering my question about the risks that Jordan Love has been taking with the football.
Matt, how do you know, it looked like during the second half of last season, Jordan came so far and he made such good decisions all the time. Maybe not the last pass of the season, but what are you seeing when you see him maybe take some chances that you would like him not to take? Is there something different that's causing him to maybe take more risks, or what do you think?
No, I think all quarterbacks kind of go through this, and You know, we just got to continue to encourage to take what's there. He's always wanted to push the ball down the field, which I respect. And one thing that we always talk about is sometimes you got to earn the right to throw it down the field. You know, we've had a pretty explosive offense, and ultimately, usually going into every game, defenses are going to try to mitigate your ability to create those explosive plays, because we know explosive plays lead to points. I don't think we scored. I think every drive that we had an explosive play on, we scored. And vice versa, when we didn't score. So, but that's football. And, you know, the one to Jay Reed, I don't recommend that decision, but he threw a hell of a ball and Jaden made a heck of a catch. So it's one of those things that you're like, no, 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 yes. But I just think over time, you got to be careful with those.
Take out Matt LaFleur, put in the 6'5 Swede, Mike Holmgren, and you can certainly think that he said the same thing about his quarterback from time to time, don't you think?
So the question I have is, to answer your question and not ask you a question, which I know annoys me, yes, I 100% agree with that. But as we sit here, and again, small sample size, if you had to comp Jordan Love versus Favre or Rodgers, you're going to say Favre.
Well, yeah, but down the stretch last season, you'd have said Rodgers. 8 games, getting the ball out of his
Jesse
hand,
pull
throwing
it.
The run.
How would you answer that?
How many poles are we putting in the field exactly?
I want two today. Two pole Tuesday or whatever day it is.
Except Wednesday. For the fact it's Wednesday. All right, we will poll both those things.
Which way are you answering it?
He's playing too much like Favre and not enough like Rodgers right now. Look, there are things, and again, this is not a New York Jets show, so we're not going to get into it, but there are things that were great qualities about Brett and some not-so-great qualities. There were great qualities about Aaron, and there's some not-so-great qualities. But in terms of not putting the ball at risk and not getting your team beat by taking too many chances, Rodgers was better about that. Now, his performances in the playoffs weren't always good enough. There's no denying that. He deserves criticism for it. But I feel like there were too many, and I've always said this, one of the most magical night of my career, the most impressive, incredible game I ever covered was you guys in Oakland. Not just because of how Favre played, but because of how all you guys rallied around your guy. And Wesley Walls full extension, and Javon Walker and Robert Ferguson making plays that they hadn't made previously. But I also thought that subsequently, that game was a little bit of his downfall, because he then decided that he could throw it up down the field, and like that magical night in Oakland, they were going to be completions. And 4th and 26 is a good example. It's not that different of the ball he throws to Javon Walker for a touchdown in Oakland, except he underthrows it and it goes right in the hands of a defender. So I think there have been a couple of instances of that. Sometimes the results have been good for Jordan, sometimes not. The interception to Wicks against Minnesota, that's another example of throw it up with
so
a
So you're answering Favre. To kind of cut through all the BS, you're answering Favre.
Hey, I'd like to say this is insight and content, not
BS. It's great insight.
But if you'd like to call what
awesome.
I'm saying BS, you go right ahead.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
But you know what's BS?
What's that?
BS is having cracks in your pavement and having ugly asphalt. That's what BS is.
Yes. It is. Get ready for spring and do it now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse over the winter. Potholes and cracked curbs and drainage issues. Well, if those things are bad now, call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed today. Schedule a free, no obligation quote. Get a walk through your pavement. They'll be able to see signs of asphalt pavement work that needed by spotting those fatigue cracks, standing water, warping, buckling, sinking pavement, and more. Don't scare away customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now. Save money later. JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com.
Brian Bulaga joins us not from the eye of the hurricane, and hopefully very safely as the hurricane approaches Florida. But the great Packers right tackle joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some famous friends.
I'm nervous. I told you this yesterday.
For Blue?
Yeah,
for
this Blue. I get such anxiety, and yet I'm like, I can't not watch the coverage of it either. It's a whole weird thing, and I'm not even in the eye of the storm. This guy is, and I'm worried about him and Abby and the kids and everybody down there. Joining us now as Hurricane Milton approaches. What a teammate, by the way. I'd be cowering. Well, I'd have evacuated by now, and I'd be freaking out. This guy just
doing
the show.
I would have had the
day off anyway. It is Brian Bulaga live from Iowa. Brian, Iowa. I wish you were in Iowa. I'd feel better about it if you were in Iowa. From Florida. How you doing? Give us an idea of what's going on down there. And if you could put me at ease, because I know what's really your biggest concern right now are my worries and my anxiety. But if you could maybe put me at ease, too, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, right now we're just getting some rain. It's these outer bands that are slowly starting to come in. And I guess the overnight model showed a little shift south, which kind of puts us in the direct path. We're in Bradenton a little more east, so it puts us kind of in the direct path of the eye of this one. And I guess the only thing we can hope is that it weakens a little bit before it hits Sarasota and the coast over there. And I will say this, it is going to be a lot of devastation in Sarasota and the coastline up and down the West Coast of Florida. I mean, they're talking something between 10 and 15 foot of storm surge. I mean, it's insane. Like the amount of water and damage that's going to be done. Thankfully for us, we're a little more inland. We weren't in an evacuation zone, not in a flood zone either. So hopefully, you know, we just get a lot of wind and rain and nothing worse than that. And hopefully what I get is going to be way, way less than what's going to happen literally 15 miles, you know, west towards the coast, because it's going to be bad out there.
Brian, I know you and Abby are great parents, and having met the kids and knowing Abby, I know what you guys are about. How do you make sure that they're not freaking out?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, you know, we do watch the Weather Channel with them and explain to them what's happening and what's going on, and they see where the storm is, and you just kind of try to explain to them what's happening and what, you know, reassure them that we're going to be okay. I mean, as best as you can. I mean, you know, we went through Ian, which was right around a Cat 5 when it hit Fort Myers and kind of moved its way up the coast. And we had some, I mean, no damage to the house, so to speak, but there were a bunch of trees ripped out of the ground, and the cleanup was pretty extensive for that one. So just trying to get them to remember that from a few years back and tell them this is going to be very similar, and just, you know, don't try to hide anything from them, because when this thing hits, it's going to be around 10, 11 o'clock tonight, and it's going to be loud. It's going to be really loud. There's going to be a lot of lightning and thunder, and the wind's going to be, hopefully it's not this high, but reports are saying around 130 mile an hour. I mean, it's crazy. So you just try to reassure them and have them remember what the last one was like, and, you know, just tell them everything's going to be all right. We're going to be safe. We're all together. And, you know, do the best you can with that. I mean, but I think the most important thing, at least for us, as I always looked at it, was let them watch what the meteorologists are saying, you know, and how they are. Like, I get it that sometimes the message from the Weather Channel is a little over the top and a little bit fear-mongering, but that's to make people aware of what's about to happen, right? Like, that's trying to get people to understand the severity of what's going to happen, the danger, and all that. So we want them to to hear that so they understand what's going on and not tell them, oh, guys, this is just another little thunderstorm. We're going to be okay. It's more than that. So you just try to educate them as much as you can without, you know, freaking them out. And that's kind of that line you walk.
All right.
Do
well,
you
let's
get freaked out?
Yeah, good
your
question.
Your first one, did you get freaked out your first time around?
A little bit. I was, you know, the Ian one, I was nervous about it because it was my first one that we actually experienced. All the other big ones, we were in Green Bay when they hit. And, like, my buddies would be texting me when we were in Green Bay telling me what's going on and everything like that. So I had never experienced one. And when Ian rolled around, it was like, you know, looking outside and seeing the trees essentially, like, snapped and bent over with the wind. I mean, yeah, very nervous. The power went out literally before the storm even really hit land. The power was out, the internet drops, and the cell service is like, you can't call or text anybody, so there's no way to communicate with anyone. Like, the next day after Ian, like, we didn't get cell service till probably 2 days after. So my parents, like, our phones finally get service. We have texts from our parents, like, asking, like, what's going, like, are you all right? This and that. And so there's a lot of things that kind of freak you out and a lot of things you take for granted when you lose it when these storms come through. Simple as being able to send a text message out. Can't do it. So I was freaked out. But, you know, I think as you go through them, you learn a little bit more. You understand what the meteorologists are actually saying about the storm and what side of the storm you're on and what you're going to get. And there's always a chance that this thing bobbles a certain way right before it hits landfall. And that changes the entire dynamic of who gets what storm surge and things like that. But at this point, it's heading where it's heading. And even if it goes a little south or a little north or whatever, we're going to get a lot of wind and a lot of rain no matter what. So it's this is a little different, especially the way it's approaching, you know, the state of Florida, unlike what it normally runs up and down the coast. So it's a little different.
Well, the good news is that it's not hitting until now, so you had plenty of time to break down the All-22. So let's talk about something really important, and let's talk about how the Packers played in Los Angeles on Sunday. What did you think? What were your impressions? It was the kind of game that, like we talked about, if you're the team you think you are and the Rams are in the position they're in, you should win this game, and they did. Wasn't always pretty. What were the things that jumped out at you when you watched the tape?
Yeah, I mean, I think I looked at, like I told Homer the other day, like I kind of, like obviously the main thing is the win, right? Like you look at these types of games, the main thing is to walk out of the building with a win, and they were able to do that. But with that, I think there was a lot to be desired after watching it and seeing kind of the way the game unfolded. You expect when the Green Bay Packers, and by all means, I mean, this doesn't change my opinion of the Green Bay Packers, but when they play and they play a team like the Rams and how shorthanded the Rams are, you expect a certain type of game and a certain play style to kind of show through, and that just wasn't there. Like, I expected them to ground and pound the Rams up and down the field and kind of dominate the line of scrimmage. The Rams are a smaller team up front, and they just weren't able to do that consistently enough. I think Jacobs averaged like 3.8 a carry, which, like, I just, like, some people may say, oh, relax, you know, I'm like, okay, I get that. But I feel like against a defense like that, Jacobs should easily have over 100 yards on 19 or 20 touches, whatever he had, and they should just be dominating it up front. So it didn't happen. And then I think you look defensively, what'd they give up? 12 points, I think. Like, you don't, I didn't look at the defense as like, oh man, this was a disaster, but they gave up some key drives that kept the Rams in the game. And I know the Jordan Love interception was one of the big moments. Yeah. The back from the Rams, I think, what do you get? Like $110, $120 or something like that. Average around 4.8 a carry. Like, he had a good day on the ground, which keeps those drives alive, keeps our offense off the field. And then again, like, I'm going to go back and talk about it because we talked about it last week, and it's like pass rushing and winning is black and white, and it's just not happening right now. Like, it's just not the way it needs to be, right? So I thought this would be a breakout game for our D-line and rushing the passer and doing, you know, and kind of showing it, and it just wasn't there. And I'm at the point now where –
What do you think, Blue? Why didn't it happen?
Well, I think the Rams' offensive line played a lot better than what everyone expected them to do, at least for me personally. I watched the game, and I thought they played well. You know, I mean, you can't take anything away from them in that standpoint. But even if they play – even if the O-line from the Rams plays good, I still expect our D-line to win. Like, I really do. Like, and maybe I'm over-exaggerating or in my own brain how good these guys are up front because I've played with a lot of them and understand what they're about. But it's just not – the production just isn't there right now. And I don't know what the factor is, but when you can't – in this defense, can't get home with four, and you have to add a fifth and a sixth to create pressure, and you don't have your number one corner, it opens up a lot of things that you don't want to see in the back end, right? There's going to be a lot of guys running loose back there. You only have so many in coverage, and that's a problem. And we saw a little bit of that against the Rams. And what concerns me is if we go against a team – like we saw with the Vikings, right? Like we could see with the Lions. Like we could see potentially with the 49ers or someone like that. I know 49ers aren't playing great, but whenever they get healthy. That if we can't get home with four and we're having to bring five or six on a consistent basis to put pressure on the quarterback, that's going to open our defense up for a lot of like easy throw and catches that can turn into big gains simply because we don't have that many guys back there, right? Like if you rush five or six, you only have so many back there in coverage. And that's what concerns me. And I still think that the guys that are rushing the passer are good enough pass rushers and players. They are just not winning consistently enough in one-on-one matchups to get that done. And obviously everyone's talking about Rashawn Gary. Like I understand that, but we can look kind of up and down this thing right now, and we can say very similar things about a lot of guys, not just him. And I get
not
he's
Carl
the
Brooks.
Highest paid one.
Don't you put Carl Brooks in that category?
I understand. I'm just saying, like if you look up and down the D line, besides the Titans game, the statistics aren't great, and obviously right. Not having Wyatt is a big deal. Like, he's really good. And not having him is a big deal. So, like, I hope he's not out for a long time because he is needed badly. It was seen in that game in the run and in the pass how big of a role he plays on that defense.
All right, we'll move to the other side of the ball. I did want to mention this since we're on the subject. So, Tausch sent me this stat, which somebody else obviously unearthed, that the Packers are seventh in the league in sacks. And fifth in quarterback pressures for the season. But I think, as Brian just said, that is almost all the Tennessee game, which completely skews their numbers. So both things can be true. They can rank that high, and you could be really concerned about their pass rush effectiveness. Also, they have the third lowest blitz rate in the league at 19.1%. But if this continues, that is going to have to change because they're not going to be able to win if they can't get pressure with four. They're going to have to start getting a little more aggressive in their calls, and we'll see if that ends up having to happen against Kyler Murray or if we go back to the, what's it called, the mush rush that they did the first 2 weeks. It'll be interesting to see about that. All right, I want to get to some more things with Brian, including where they're at offensively, talk a little bit about our Jordan Love comparison conversation as well. Brian Bulaga rolls on with us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga. Not in the eye of the storm, at least not yet. Continue to...
Hey, Blue, before we get back to Packers and the offensive line and everything else, what'd you make of the Rodgers, Saleh, that whole ordeal yesterday?
Boy, I did not see that coming at all. It will be interesting to see. I mean, I'm sure Aaron's got to do media today, so it'll be interesting to see what he says about that. Listen, there's a lot of dysfunction there. I think everyone knows that. Everyone understands that. But I just didn't see that happening this early in the season. But it's going to be very interesting to see how things go the next few weeks there. And, I would imagine that Aaron's presser this afternoon, I think they play this week. I didn't know if they're off or not.
Yeah, they're on Monday.
Play Buffalo. Yeah, they play Buffalo, so it's not like it's getting any easier. But it'll be interesting to see Aaron's presser today and what he says because, I don't know if everything was kosher between the two guys when the season started and the season.
Sorry,
I have no idea.
Like
so, like,
it didn't feel like it.
No, there was certainly, at least from the outside, looked like there was some tension.
A little bit.
So,
no blanks.
So I'm gonna be very interested to see what he has to say today. And or did he go on McAfee?
Yeah, he's on McAfee after our show's done. So you don't tune into that till our show's done. But Blue, one more Rogers thing. Don't you think that whole when he went to Egypt, you know Rogers well. He didn't like that. When they said they could have just said he's been here all off season. We excused him, and when he came out and said unexcused absence, that's when I thought this ain't gonna end well.
No.
Is that kind of how you felt, or do you think it was a nothing burger?
No, I don't. I think that was done poorly by Saleh. I don't think that was the right way to go about that.
Agree.
He chose
I don't think that was the right way to go about handling that. Like, listen, you can have that conversation with Aaron and tell him, like, we're treating this as unexcused. Like, I'm just letting you know that. And, like, have that behind closed doors. But then you don't go out in the press conference and then reiterate that and then create an entire saga that goes on for a while and then the team starts poorly and then he gets fired. And one way or another, like, everyone's going to look back to that situation in the summer and think this started on the wrong foot this year and now it ended 5 days or 5 games later. So I would have gone about it differently if I were him.
Yeah, I think we all look at that. And again, that's in the past. That's Rodgers. That's blah, blah, blah. But the Romeo Doubs situation and Blue, I don't think you ever had any scenarios with teammates that have had – I've had guys get suspended and missed games – but not the way this shook out. Jason asked me, "What if you're Romeo Doubs, and this is how it's played out. He's had the conversation with Matt LaFleur. What are you doing today if you're Romeo Doubs coming back into practice after the debacle that was last week?"
Yeah, I mean, I think when you do that, I think in the offensive team meeting, you need to say something. I think you need to address, especially the offensive group, and kind of address about where you're at, like, and you don't have to explain everything because I think people have a good idea at this point why he didn't show up, right? I mean, I think it's been widely reported. Most of the guys know. I'm not sure what LaFleur told these guys in the team meeting or anything like that. I have no idea, but I think it'd be to address it. And I'm not saying because again, I don't know Romeo's side of the story. I have no idea. He hasn't spoken yet either. So like, I don't know his side, mm-hmm. and I don't know if he feels like he should apologize to his teammates or not, but I know I would because like I would think of it as like I decided that my personal issues are bigger than this team, so I'm going to stay home. And you kind of let that go through and you get into this week and you're back. I'd apologize to those guys to make the guys that I play with every down make them know that like I'm all in with you guys. Like I apologize for what I did last week I know how it came off. That wasn't, you know, I didn't want it to be that way, but that's how it looks. So I'm coming in here and I'm apologizing for what happened. I'm all about you guys. I'm all about the team. Like I'm in here to help this team win. And that's where I'm at. And then I would say like, if any guys, you know, don't feel comfortable asking a question, please feel free to come and talk to me, and we can address it, you know, person to person, so there's no, I guess, rumor mill starting, right? Like, you want to address it head on, and that would be the way I would go about it. And I think guys would respect that a lot. Like, I know I would, right? Like, if someone did that, and then the next week they come back in the offensive meeting room and they address the offense at the minimum, and they address it head on and take it head on, I would respect that a lot, because that would show, hey, he's standing up, he's manning up, he's right in front of us, he's telling us kind of what happened, and that he's moving on from it, and he apologizes. And to me, that would say a lot about him.
So will you trust him moving forward as a teammate, though?
It's going to take some time. Honestly, I think it's going to take some time. It's not going to be an immediate thing. Because I guess for me personally, I don't know him. So, like, I can't say that I know anything about him or how he works or anything like that. Like, I would always think
heard
early
he's even
on,
keeled.
Especially probably the first.
He's really an even keeled guy.
I can't believe you waited that long to say that. I'm trying to let Luke finish his
sentence, Wildy. That's why.
Yeah. It would take me a little bit, because any little bit of, I guess, frustration or anything that he shows, I would think he could do this again. Like, when we need him in a big moment, maybe not just not show up to work, but in a game, just be like, I don't want to run this route, or I don't want to be the crack blocker on this. Like, you start to question, is he out there and doing what he needs to do 100%. I'm not saying that he is or isn't, but early on when he came back, that would be my concern as a teammate, especially a teammate that may not know him very well, but has just seen what he's done. It would concern me a bit. And I would expect people to feel the same about me if I did that, right? Like, I would expect people like, can we count on this guy? That would be something that would be a concern, right? You'd have to answer going forward.
And you got to prove it. Words aren't going to do it. I love the, address it. Make sure everybody knows you're remorseful. And you better be remorseful, right? There's not the case. This is how you feel the way you did. You made a mistake. And if you don't feel like you made a mistake, I don't know if I want to move forward with you.
Yeah, I listen, like, this team needs him, right? Like, that's why I'm confused on how he got to this point, because it's very clear that this offense and this team needs him.
Right.
So, like, that's why, like, a lot of this doesn't make sense, but, like, I don't think the coaches nor the guys on the team can express themselves anymore about how big of a part of this offense he is. Like, I don't know what else they can say or do. Like, okay, he wanted three more targets over the first four games to prove that. Like, I just don't understand how he doesn't realize that he is either one or two on this offense receiver-wise, and he's going to be an integral part of it going forward. Like, so that's why, like, I don't know, like, what else a coach or a teammate can, like, say to him to make him feel more appreciated is what I'm saying. Like,
I almost wonder if Matt LaFleur shouldn't test him this week. Give him no targets and see how he operates.
He's
and
the
how
fourth
he handles
read
it. Like,
on
I'd be
every
dead
play.
Serious. You're in there. You got to go dig that safety out. You're doing this. And if Jordan gets you the ball, if you're third option, great. But I almost wonder, if I'm not Matt LaFleur, you're saying all the right things. Are you going to live it? I'd be curious.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys this. Here's I'm curious, because you guys, over 20 years combined in the league, your time playing, I have no doubt that there were guys, and not just wide receivers, but a lot of times wide receivers, who were unhappy with their role, unhappy with their production, unhappy with their opportunities. I believe, and LaFleur was not willing to delve into his mentality, I believe this blindsided them, the coaching staff. I believe that maybe was maybe a little underpinning of him being a little bit unhappy, but there's no way they saw what happened coming. Now, my question for you is, if you were around teammates, not so much of the offensive line meeting room, because you guys would have gotten after each other and that you would have been merciless on anyone who had even come close to this behavior in the offensive.
There is no doubt about that. So, Blue, can you imagine somebody not showing up to a Thursday practice because they're not happy, they're not getting enough pass sets or run plays?
Oh, like, dude.
It's so absurd to us.
It would never the guy that did it would never be lived out. It would be hard.
No.
It would be really hard for that guy to earn any trust in that room. It would be very,
100%.
Very difficult. Like, I don't know how you win back the room after
it wouldn't
that.
Happen.
Like, I don't know.
No, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah. Like,
so, all right. So you don't have direct experience with a guy in your room doing this. So you can't necessarily speak to what the wide receivers will do. But generally speaking, you know, you had guys who were unhappy. What mm-hmm. did they yeah. do? Because the part of this, Brian, I would have thought the approach that I would have taken if I was Romeo, I would have talked to Steno and LaFleur. But I would have also talked to Love, who I work out with in the off season, and said, man, I'm so frustrated. I don't understand. Like, what, you know, why am I, like, when you saw guys unhappy, what is the quote-unquote normal way to handle it? Because this was not normal, to just not show up for work and have someone from the security staff, Doug Collins, come to make sure you're still alive and that you're at home. Like, yeah. That's not normal. But there's got to be more guys than just him who've been disgruntled during your 20-plus years in the NFL. What did they do, and how was it resolved under more normal circumstances?
Yeah, and Tausch could obviously answer what went on with Favre and how it was dealt with Favre and everything like that. And listen, I've said it a bunch about this situation. Like, in my time in Green Bay and Tausch too, I was very fortunate to have stud wide receivers all the time. Like, guys that could have gone to another team and been a number one or a high end two. Guys that, if you got them the ball, they would make really good things happen with it. So there was always a situation where someone felt that, hey, maybe I could get the ball a little bit more, or I could be used in a certain way. And I think what guys always did, and which, because it never got around to the locker room that guys were really pissed off or something. Like, it never got to that point. Like, you can tell if a guy was, you know, maybe a little unhappy by maybe he said something in the media, but it never showed on the practice field. Guys didn't go out there and do anything that would cause other people to think, does this guy care? I think a lot of things got hit head on because Aaron addressed it, right? Like, they went to Aaron, and Aaron then, who would do the game planning every week with McCarthy or with the floor, would go up and would, either whether it was Joe Philbin or Tom Clemens, whoever the offensive coordinator was, or Van, like, whoever, they'd go through this plan and try to figure out a way, maybe not to guarantee this player gets more looks or reps or whatever it may be, but just to make them feel more involved in some way, shape, or form. And obviously, these things have to be earned, right? Like, you just don't give looks and more opportunities because they're unhappy. Like, those things are earned. And Romeo Doubs had that credit to him going into this situation. He could have handled that way. And people would respond, like, you know what, Romeo, you're right. Like, we do got to get you the ball more. We do have to look your way more and get you involved in certain route patterns and combinations. And, yeah, we agree with you. Like, and, you know, LaFleur would have said, obviously, which every one of us has said, we've kind of gone through the season. The season's been a little bit different. We didn't have Jordan for 2 weeks. This game plan was not based around the wide receivers. This was based around the offensive line and the run game. Things are going to pick up. I assure you, they're going to pick up. And Romeo could have gone about it that way, and this would have never happened. Like, no issue, right? It would have never became a story. But to just not show up is something that I could never imagine Cobbie doing, James Jones, Jennings, Jordy, Devontae. Like, all these guys that were stud wide receivers, I could just never see that happening because they were unhappy with their role, right? Like, and I think a lot of people could, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just speaking over the last few years. I think a lot of people would understand, like, if Watson was unhappy with something. But that guy literally shows up, He says the right things. He does mm-hmm. his job. He may not get all the targets, but he works his butt off, is at least what it appears. Mm-hmm. He does what he's asked on the field, and when he gets his opportunities, he makes the most out of them. Like, if there was going to be someone that you would say would be unhappy, you would think it would be him.
Right. It's just his dad.
Not Romeo. But, like, well, yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know. I'm not going to speak on anything of that nature. Like, I don't know anything about that. But, like,
That'll be in Sunday's paper. Like, that's the Sunday article this week from Jason.
I don't know anything about that. I'm just saying, like.
So, no, I think you made a good point, and I totally agree with. And my question to Romeo is, before you didn't come to work on Thursday, did you talk to LaFleur? Did you talk to Jason Vrabel? Did you talk to Jordan Love? And he may not answer. But to me, that this was preventable, and you just made an outstanding point of, I think the guys around him would have said, hey, you're right. We need to get you the ball more. We want you to be more involved than you have been. Understand that, you know, Malik threw 33 passes. And oh, by the way, in the Colts game, you were the leading receiver. You had a huge catch in that game. And we were playing with a guy that we didn't trust to throw more than 16 passes in a game. So, hey, just be patient. You're a key, integral part of what we do here. It's going to be okay. So that's the part that I want to know is, did you seek anyone out, or did you just sort of react the way you did without really thinking it through? All right. The other person that I wanted to get to, who is my Sunday story, is Tucker Kraft. You are an offensive lineman, although after you lost your weight, after you retired, you could have come back when they needed tight end help. I think you'd have been a hell of a blocker. I'm curious, when you watch him play, how much fun is he to watch for you? As I mean, he's an athletic offensive lineman who can catch the football. Like, he does not shy away from contact. He runs over guys. He blocks his tail off. How much do you, when you're breaking down your all 22, how much are you enjoying watching Tucker Kraft right now?
I love watching him. Like, and everyone loves a guy, a tight end, especially that makes plays downfield and has the 66-yard catch and run that he had against the Rams and you know, goes to pay dirt with it. But what I appreciate about the guy is that he's a three down player. Mm-hmm. He is more than willing to block and do the dirty work, and he's really good at it too, right? Like, it's a skill set to be able to be a tight end, what they weigh, you know, 235, whatever they weigh, and to be able to block defensive linemen at the rate that he does. Like, that's a skill set. Just like receiving and running good routes is a skill set, being able to block the way he does is a skill set. Not many tight ends have both. And that's just the way it is. Like, you look at a couple guys around the league that have both. Andrews from Baltimore is a guy that jumps out that does both and does them really well. And, like, Tucker Kittle. Kraft is become – yeah, Kittle does that really well. Like, Tucker Kraft is becoming that, right? Like, LaPorta in Detroit – doesn't really block all that well, like, but he's a great receiver. So, like, it's a very small amount of guys that do both well.
He ain't got a block.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, Kittle's an Iowa guy, and he blocks pretty good.
That's true. But, Blue, don't you just love watching the way he works to cut off on the backside? And he is just an energy guy. You have those guys that it's like, man, he just brings that energy. And you need guys like that. When you can have somebody that's a kind of a rabble rouser that's going to go out and have fun, that is a huge piece. And by the way, he's just getting better and better, and I think he's going to get more and more comfortable being that guy. That's why I'm excited about watching him.
Yeah, he's a guy that teammates can rely on every down. And, like, again, I say, like, because it's just rare to have a tight end that you can have on the field for all three downs. Like, it's very rare to have that. Like, most of the times, like, there's a blocking tight end and they put another guy out, you know, on third down that can run the seam and do things like that. It's not all the time that you got a guy like that. And then the juice he brings, he always looks like he's having a great time. Like, it always looks like he's just loving life out there, having fun, whether it's blocking, you know, running routes, catching passes. So, like, he is like a true energizer bunny for the offense. Like, and now he's become an extremely viable option that opens up things for the receivers, right? Like, now when you have a tight end that's running across the middle and he grabs the attention of safeties and linebackers and pulls them out of areas, now wide receivers get to get into that space wide open. So like when Watson gets back and he's running the deep third of the field and Tucker Kraft is running a deep cross over the middle, the tight end's going to get attention. And then the guy running the vertical is going to be waving his hand open like, hey, they jumped Tucker Kraft's route. I'm wide open. So to have him now and be able to move him around like a chess piece and have him run routes and grab attention of other guys, that's huge. Because now we're looking at this offense and we have, I would say, four receivers, and that's including him, that you feel really good about out on the field at once. And that's very hard for a defense with Jacobs in the backfield to game plan against. The tight end was something like we knew they were talented, Musgraves and Kraft, we knew they were talented, but how big of a role were they going to have? Well, now defenses have to start planning for Kraft because he's a huge part of the offense. And you have to try to take that away with all the other weapons that the Packers have. It's going to be tough for defenses to plan it.
Yeah, and wait until Luke Musgrave gets more opportunities too. Unless he stops coming to practice because he's not happy with his role. All
that's
right.
A burn.
Wow. No, he's not going to do that. That's what I mean. But in all seriousness, we were really excited about him last year, and I think that they will figure out a way to utilize him in conjunction with Kraft to make some more plays in the passing game.
I wouldn't bet on that.
But he's certainly got to do more in the blocking game. All right, Brian, we'll let you continue to batten down the hatches. We are worried about you. Please keep us updated. We are always looking for digital content, though. So if you'd like to be like Jim Cantore, and when the storm is hitting at its worst, if we could get some video of you reporting live from Hurricane Milton.
Oh, yeah.
Chief Meteorologist Brian Bulaga, Iowa.
Hey, just like I did for Ian, when the wind got really bad, I wanted to go feel what it felt like. So I did walk out there and stood out in the backyard in the wind just to kind of see what this is feeling like. And it was strong.
All right,
I anticipate doing that again. So, yeah, we will have some content to pass along for sure.
Please be safe because I am genuinely worried. So, all right. We appreciate you so much. And we'll talk to you again soon. But be safe, you and the fam. And thanks for making time for us today.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, that is Brian Bulaga, Iowa. Ironically enough, Tausch, you should probably tell us a little bit about American Family Insurance right now.
Gotta insure. And you know what, Packer fans? Looking for the ultimate game day experience? Well, American Family Insurance has you covered. Picture this. Hit your very own VIP tailgate when you're cheering on the Packers from great jaw-dropping seats. Enter the Dream Weekend Sweepstakes to win amazing game tickets, a private tailgate, exclusive Jordan Love merchandise, and much, much more. It sounds incredible. Oh, it does indeed. Don't miss out. Visit amfam.com/Packers to enter. And you have to enter by 11:59 on October 21st. Now, I guess because if it was the stroke of midnight, it would actually be earlier. You have until that 11:59. I finally figured out what Jason was talking about. Again, amfam.com/Packers to enter. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully.
The 10 o'clock hour starts late, but starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.